So Romans 5. So Jesus comes at that time for whatever reason that's part of the plan. He doesn't come 50 years earlier. Doesn't come 200 years later. Comes then. So it's an appointed time. It goes back to Torah. Everything's done at appointed times. And so this is, God's plan is very orderly. It doesn't always make sense to us, but it's very orderly. You know, they talk about how, you know, people always used to talk about how, well, because there was peace in the world, because of the Roman Empire and the Pax Romana, and there were good roads, and they had ships going around, and you could walk anywhere you wanted to go, you know, the gospel spread. And I say, well, that's interesting, but the gospel could spread today a lot faster with emails and websites and texts. But anyway, so we're not going to know why it happened exactly then, but it's then. And it says we were ungodly. Ungodly. You know, Jesus never says to those guys, now look, I want you guys to go out into the desert for the next 3 years, take all the scrolls with you, I want you to read the scriptures. I want you to repent. I want you to fast. I want you to pray. Then in 3 years, come back and we'll talk. No, while we were still sinners, he died. In fact, he goes on to say, while we were his enemies, we're all enemies of Christ. We can't stand that. Everything in our nature fights against that because we want to do what we want to do. Right? The basis of all sin is pride. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Hey, Eve, have the apple. Let me tell you why he doesn't want you to have the apple. He wants to control you. He doesn't want you to be who you want to be. Come on, man, eat the apple. Yeah, what's he trying to pull? Give me that apple. We're enemies of Christ. So while we were his enemies, he died. He didn't come and say, well, as soon as enough people believe in me, then I'm going to start forgiving sins. No, tomorrow I'm going to die. So while we were his enemies, while we were still sinners, while we were in rebellion, while we stood condemned, like when we come to Christ and meet him, we stand condemned. Then all of a sudden you say, whoa, wait a minute, wow. And you never get over it. I would never get over that day. Why would I want to? And people say, oh, nothing more important than your cholesterol. Well, sorry, that's irrelevant. I'm not going to save you. Nothing more important than your family. That's irrelevant. Your family can't save you. All your family can do is hinder you. Oh, come on, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Oh, what a loser. Why? I can't believe you. You stand condemned and you encounter him. And again, he uses the term justified by his blood. So in legal terminology, we're not only found innocent, but it's like the crime never happened, only because of his blood. So the requirements of the law are satisfied. Colossians 2:14, the condemnations due to us by the law were nailed to the cross. Yes, you know, here's the 613 laws. I have 28,979 condemnations against me because of these laws, probably more. Nailed to the cross. So your condemnation's nailed to the cross. Why? Because all the sin was put on him. And you're justified. So we're saved from the wrath. It's a complete work. There's nothing incomplete about it. You can't say, well, because of the cross, I'm kind of forgiven or I'm partially forgiven. Well, I'm forgiven of these main things, but not these other. No, it's complete because it has infinite blood atonement, has infinite, I don't know what a good word even is for it. There's nothing like it. When you transferred your sin to the Lamb, you know, you're talking about your little sins the last few hours or a couple of days. He's got all the sins of the world put on him that day. And so that blood can take away everybody's sin. And so, he says, when we were without strength, you know, we would maybe die for a good man. Like, you know, you hear stories in combat, somebody jumps on a grenade and saves everybody else. You know, if somebody was going to shoot somebody that, you know, you would get in the way. I mean, you would do anything to protect your house, your kids, your spouse from whatever was going on. And if you died, well, you wouldn't think, oh, I might die. You would just do it. But he says nobody would die for an unrighteous person. But he did. Because all of us are unrighteous. So he says that. So justified by his blood, we're saved from the wrath through him. In other words, you know, when he talks about the other paraclete coming, paracletus is somebody who stands beside you like a lawyer. He's also a paraclete. Because at the judgment, he stands with you. It's always good to have a good Jewish lawyer, right? So we don't understand how these things work, but God the Father says, you know, I got a list here of everything wrong you've done. I've got the list right here. You can't go to heaven. You have to be holy to be in heaven. And Jesus says, but I died for him. His sins are covered in my blood, and he's accepted that, and he's repented of his. Oh, okay, come on. That's how we're saved. That's the idea of being saved from the wrath. So we're reconciled because his son died. And later on, he's going to say, God didn't spare his own son in order to save you. Didn't spare his own son in order to save you. And we think of it like, yep, yeah, I know, I heard all that stuff. Yep. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I got a doctor's appointment today. I can't deal with that. Oh, no, there's a Casablanca's on TV. I'm not going to miss that. You know, no matter what it is. You know, I'd like to go today, but I got to cut the grass. I got to trim that tree. Because he didn't spare his own son, we should rejoice in that. That's why I always say, if you don't think about the cross 20 times a day, you don't understand what happened there. You know, oh, Jesus was a good a philosopher. He was a great teacher. Came to show us how to live. Too bad they killed him. Wrong. That's why, you know, in the Passion of the Christ, the story went around, you know, when they started pounding the nail, it was Mel Gibson who hit the first nail. And, of course, he's had a checkered life before that and after that. But he realized, you know what, I'm the sinner that put him to death. We're all the sinners that put him to death. And so we should be excited about that because we've received reconciliation. So we should rejoice.